Okay, we've spoken about deficit reduction, energy prices, the city. The thing that wasn't so much in your New Year message was the issue of Europe. I'm trying to work out whether you were bold last year in that meeting in December or whether it was a cock-up.
I did exactly what it was. It was a, as Prime Minister, I said what I was going to do, try and secure a deal with safeguards for Britain. I said if I can't get those safeguards, I won't agree a treaty. And surprise, surprise, I did what I said I was going to do. I don't know why anyone's so surprised by this.
What exactly have you safeguarded? I don't quite understand. So let's take the example of the withholding tax. Were they able to impose a financial transactions tax on the UK before you went and...
No, that wasn't the point. The point was that a new treaty was being proposed, and a new treaty within the framework of the European Union. And my position was, the government's position was, agreed across government, was that we would be all right with that and go ahead with that if there were safeguards over... But this is important
but
because
what
countries...
What have you stopped them doing that they couldn't previously do as a result of your...
What I stopped them doing...
I just don't understand it. What is it?
What can they not do
that they would otherwise have been able to do?
The point is that they're not able to have a European Union treaty.
But you didn't want to stop them having a European Union. You have no objection to them having a treaty.
Well, I did have an objection to a treaty without safeguards for Britain. And this is important.
But what safeguard have you got for Britain?
If you've
just stopped them having the treaty with you in it, but they're still going to have the treaty. And there's nothing that they couldn't do for Britain that they can now not do. What is it?
Have you finished? What I stopped was, if you had a treaty within the framework of the European Union that didn't have safeguards on the single market and on financial services, Britain would have been in a worse position. So I'm not making some great claim to have achieved a safeguard, but what I did do was stop a treaty without safeguards. Is that clear enough?
Yeah, so there are no safeguards. Let me ask this, because this is going to come up. I mean, you were cheered by your backbenchers and others for what you did there. They're expecting you to veto the use of the Commission, the court, the chauffeur-driven cars and the rooms of the EU buildings by the other members when they have their treaty without us. Are you going to do that? I'm not clear whether that's part of your...
Well, part of the problem is the legal position is unclear. I mean, the good part of the legal...
No, but we need a legal argument about it. It's a distraction. Are you going to tell them there needs to be a legal argument about this because we're going to stop you using it? We're going to take it to the courts
One of the strengths of there not being a treaty within the European Union is that the new thing, whatever it is, can't do things that are the property of the European Union. So they shouldn't be doing things that are about the single market or about competitiveness. And we'll be very clear that when it comes to that, that you cannot use the European institutions for those things because that would be wrong. You know, you can't have a treaty outside the European Union that starts doing things that should be done within the European Union.
And that goes back to the issue
of safeguards.
I'm not clear as to whether... If Germany, France and 24 other members want to get together and have a meeting in a Commission building about the euro and one that, for example, uses the Commission to provide data,
Will they do that now?
And then if they say we'd like to use the court, are you going to say no, you mustn't use the court to uphold the things you've agreed among yourselves?
Well, I think as I say, there are legal difficulties over this. And one of the problems is that the European Court of Justice, we all think it's this great independent arbiter, but the European Court of Justice tends to come down on the side of whatever more Europe involves. That's part of the
problem.
But there are only legal arguments
if we take them to court against it. I'm trying to get at whether you want to take them to court.
Well, I want to be very clear that they should not do things outside the European Union that are the property of the European Union. The single market. Why are we in the organisation? Why are we there in the first place? We're there because we're a trading nation and we want access to the single market and a full say about the rules of the single market. And what we can't have is the single market being discussed outside the European Union. And we'll do everything possible to make sure that doesn't happen.
If they say, look, we're not going to discuss single market issues, so no need to worry, Mr Cameron, but we are going to use the court, the commission and the chauffeur-driven cars to get on with our business.
Well, they do that now, of course.
So there's no problem then, and there's no need for there to be an argument. Nothing else now happens between now and the end of the Parliament.
As I've said, I don't want to repeat myself. What matters is what belongs to the European Union. The single market stays there. But of course,
there's no change in our relationship with Europe.
We have a very clear position, which is that any transfer of power from Britain to Brussels triggers a referendum. That's a guarantee that never previously existed. Had it been there, there would have been referendums on Maastricht, on Lisbon, on these treaties. And that's, I think, it's very important. That's why people feel so cheated over the years, that politicians have have given powers away without asking them first. That can never happen again because of action this government took.
Nick Clegg told us yesterday that it had never been envisaged we'd be in a minority of one, and that is, I think, at root of why people, some people say this was just a big cock-up, that you hadn't briefed your allies in the European Union ahead of the game, that you misunderstood Angela Merkel when you met her in November, that she would support you, and you were actually taken aback by what happened.
Well, first of all, there was a very clear understanding in government, in the coalition, very clear preparation of our negotiating position that was agreed by everybody, and that negotiating position was to seek safeguards if there was going to be a treaty at the level of 27, but to be very clear that if we couldn't get those safeguards, we'd say no to a treaty at the level of 27. That was agreed across government, and I think it was the right thing to do. We don't fully yet know the outcome of how many countries will actually sign this new treaty or whatever it is, and exactly what that treaty will cover, but we'll work very hard to make sure that treaty is about fiscal union and not about single market and competitiveness. As for our negotiating position, the safeguards we were seeking, as I said at the time, they were moderate, they were reasonable, they were relevant. I talked Angela Merkel and others through those safeguards, but in the end they weren't prepared to give those. No, I mean, that's not true. I went to see Angela Merkel 3 weeks before the European...
But you didn't tell her the proposals then, so they did, none of the groundwork had been...
No, I did. I went through a series of proposals then, but more to the point is the French and German proposals for treaty change, remember, they only appeared a day before the European Council. So you can't really accuse me of being late in the day with my, as it were, safeguards when we didn't actually get the treaty change proposals till very late in the day.
But Nick Clegg was right to say we had not envisaged, you had not envisaged ending up in the minority.
We absolutely envisaged either a situation where we had a treaty change at 27 with safeguards or Britain saying no to a European treaty. And in those circumstances, we were absolutely clear it was very likely other European countries in the euro and some outside would go ahead and sign a treaty outside the European Union. And that is what looks like is going to happen. As I say, we don't know how many countries will, in the end, sign up to that treaty, but Britain won't be one of them.
We're almost out of time. It's the weekend that...